Good morning, everyone.
Did he sleep? No, he does not sleep.
Candace Powers, our fund manager, said hurting the board is like hurting cats. She's right. So we appreciate you all being here. The one thing I found about the state of Utah is there's only one thing that we can all rally around, and I'll let you think about that for a minute, and then I'll express our shared sadness over the loss last night. I do find that the Jazz are the one thing that this state can all agree on. So I won't say anything about Devin Lloyd going in the first round because that will upset at least half of the people here. So. welcome to the CIB meeting today. We appreciate your efforts to be here. Candace, we'll start off with your briefing so that we all know what we're doing.
Thank you, Chairman Heaton. Before I begin with my briefing, I would like to acknowledge that today is the last board meeting this illustrious chair will chair. Keith Heaton has been with the CIB for as chairman for about 2 years now, and he's done an exemplary job.
And Keith.
This feels kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Oh.
You want to stand up, you get here.
Wow, okay. Thank
you. Before we begin. I typo.
Oh, really? So they untie? Okay. I didn't want to mess it up. It was so pretty.
This is compliments of Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I've hit another roadblock.
Yeah.
Oh, it comes with a sticky.
I don't know what it is.
I can hang it from my windshield. Oh, I've been clocked. I recognize it now.
Yeah.
I'll get it unwrapped so everyone can see what it means to be clocked.
Yeah, we made it tricky for you. Thank you for your patience.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll have some insight into what birthdays and Christmas are like at my house. Slow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I never thought that would happen in my life. That feels funny. I'm greatly honored. I find the irony in giving the chairman a clock. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Candace, and I will sit down and not waste any more time. Thank you all so much. I'm most honored.
Anyway, much appreciation, Chairman Heaton, and board. This is an excellent board, and it's done an excellent job. Which brings us to April 29th. Why this day? This is the last meeting for review of applications for fiscal year 2022. And it's April 29th. It's a Friday. The board usually meets on the first or Thursday of any month. So here we are on Friday, but we are completing the board's business in the current configuration. There will be a new a reorganization of this board after May 4th and subsequently however long it takes to get all of the new members confirmed. So I appreciate this board. It's been excellent in its current iteration. I especially appreciate the water quality and water resources expertise that's been on the board. It's duly noted. We have a few of their comments and minutes that have really helped us in reviewing history. But going forward, I have no doubt that the new board will be excellent and will do a good job in administering these funds. And I am honored to have been the fund manager for this board, and I will hopefully continue to be the fund manager for the Permanent Community Impact Fund board. So with that, today let's do business. This is the final meeting of the third trimester. CIB runs in trimesters, so you submit an application. Applications are due for the next trimester, fiscal year 2023, on June 1st. We're hardliners about the due date, but if I recall correctly, it might be June 3rd, because June 1st is a Saturday. Not sure, but I'll check that out. Anyway, the first day of business of June will be when applications are due by 5 o'clock. At 5:10, they're late, and they can be reviewed and placed on an agenda for the next trimester. Today, there are four new projects. These are the projects that were submitted, applications that were submitted on February 1st, which was the last application deadline for this fiscal year. There are two supplemental requests and one pending project and one special consideration project to be discussed. The mineral lease fund balance, where grants and 0% loans and interest-bearing loans can be accommodated with the revenues available today, and if all projects are funded as requested, the remaining revenue balance for grants would be under $100,000. But it's not in the red. The bonus account, which statutorily can only be offered as an interest-bearing loan, it has an adequate balance, so loans are available at interest from this fund. The board should pursue reasonable funding authorizations for both the applicant and the fund to keep the fund revolving, and that's in statute. The price of a barrel of Utah crude as of January 2022, which isn't very current, but that was the most current on the federal website, was $73.69. I have been told that once the barrel, the revenue from a barrel of oil or the cost of a barrel of oil is over 60, then there it makes reasonable economic sense to develop the resources. So hopefully they will be developing, but there still remains restrictions, I believe, on federal land. Hopefully that will lighten up, as Utah crude is some of the best and some of the cleanest. Did you know that? The CIB revenue comes from a percentage of those resources once they're developed on federal land. So just by way of this audio and this audience, that's where this revenue comes from. It's not tax dollars, but it is public funds. The board standard interest rate has been about 2.5%, up or down. The board has that discretion. And the purpose of this is to maximize the long-term benefit of funds derived from these leases. And with that, I turn the time over to Chairman Heaton.
Thank you, Candace, and thank you all. I very much appreciate staff, not only working with them over many, many years, but for their quick turnaround on this meeting. I don't think anyone fully realizes how much work it is to prepare for and organize these meetings. And Candace has a very small team. When you're in the meetings, it looks like she has a very large team because we pull out all of the stops to make sure that the meetings themselves run smoothly. But behind the scenes, Brenda and Candace really do the lion's share of the work. and when you compress that down, pardon me, to just a couple weeks, it's quite amazing that they're able to do that. And they compress the whole trimester down to about 3 weeks. So appreciate their efforts. Appreciate you being here. If you didn't sign in, there is a sign-in sheet at the back. In order to receive any funding, you have to sign in. So I trust you all did. And for the board, remember your microphones to make sure that the green light is on if you're trying to speak. That way it gets recorded onto the record. With that, we'll turn our attention to the agenda. I'm already getting notes. Oh, yes, we'd like to excuse board member Scott Bartholomew and Nagi Zanotti, again, due to the date changes. Being a Friday, they were unable to be here. They are here in thought and spirit, and we appreciate their service over time as well. Let's do some quick introductions. We'll start with Commissioner Lytle, and we'll go around.
Commissioner Jack Lytle, Daggett County, representing Uinta Basin Association of Governments.
Dean Baker, representing Uinta County.
Jerry Taylor, Garfield County, representing five county area. But the first, I have to tell people this, first time I met Keith Heaton, I was in a raft going down below Dutch John, and he tried to pull me out of my raft and drown me.
Fortunately, Jerry's a lot stronger than I am, so that wasn't successful.
He was just trying to keep you humble. Anyway, Commissioner Tudor Ogden, representing Sevier County.
Keith Heaton, representing Department of Workforce Services, Chairman of the Board.
Aaron Waite, from the Attorney General's Office, representing CIB.
Marlo Oaks, State Treasurer.
Kyle Stevens, representing the Utah Board of Water Resources, and as indicated, this will be our last meeting. So thank you for the opportunity to serve on this board. Thank you.
I'm Jim Webb, representing the Utah Water Quality Board as well.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Thank you. Thank you. The chair would entertain motion to accept the minutes from the April 7th CIB meeting.
I'll make that motion.
A motion by Commissioner Ogden.
Chairman, I'll second that.
Second by Mayor Baker. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, Candace, will you roll call vote, please?
Treasurer Oaks?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously with those present.
Thank you. Our first project, 4.1 on your agenda, is Ballard City, seeking some street improvements. We'd like to invite them to come forward. There's a table here at the front with microphones. And as they're coming forward, as is our practice, Candace Powers will brief us on this project.
Number one on today's agenda for new projects is Ballard City. This project will be street improvements on 1500 East, and this is phase 2 and 3. The request is for $3,028,000, of which there is a $1,514,000 loan. And they've indicated 15 years at 0.5% and $1,514,000 grant. The reason that I paused on 15 years is depending on the revenue source. If they pledge mineral lease revenues, it can be 15 years. If they pledge BNC road funds, it can only be 10. So the board needs to be mindful of that. This project provides new roadways in their public, you've seen the description. It will include a new roadways and realignment. So there is some admonition that they contact SHPO if they haven't already, if there's any road realignment, so we don't have the wonderful experience of pulling out something from the dirt that we weren't anticipating that might be of historical significance. On the public hearing minutes, December 21, it stated that the Christmas party was January 7th, so sorry I missed it.
Next year,
please. With construction rates going up, it might be wise to approach CIB for a grant loan mix to complete the entire project sooner. And the reason they stated that in the public hearing minutes is because they were also going to get funding from the Joint Highway Committee. Those funds would not be approved until 2024, and once those funds are approved, they would like to pay off the CIB, a portion of the CIB funding, and I believe that's for phase two, which is about a third of a mile of the project. So they're doing advanced construction now to save costs, and when federal funding is received, Ballard will pay off the loan. My question for Ballard is, because there is some grant funding, does this need to be Ballard City Municipal Building Authority, or is it just Ballard City that's receiving the funding today?
Ballard City.
Thank you.
Question to the, or a quick comment. Would
go ahead,
the,
relative to the city and the municipal building authority, do you receive, is that related to?
I was wondering if it would offset PILT, if they received any.
Right. Federal PILT. Do you guys receive federal PILT as a town?
Okay.
Okay. That's, I just tried to understand. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification and briefing. Ballard City, if you'd like to introduce yourselves for the record and say anything you'd like about the project.
I'll start. I'm Mayor Abercrombie from Ballard City. I've been a resident in Ballard since 1975. We do have a lot of producing oil and gas wells in Ballard City. This road project's been a thing we've had on our thoughts for quite a few years because of the heavy truck traffic that leaves Highway 40 and goes south through our city. We've had, we've got 12 or 13 wells. We're going to have two new wells being drilled this summer. 1,000 South is as far as the road will go, but that intersection is going to be improved, and that'll help divert that traffic going to the two new wells. A lot of people are used to trucks, but, in a town or a community when they're fracking wells, sometimes we go 2 months, to frack a couple wells, and that's 24-hour truck traffic. At the head of the Highway 40, or going south, we have Union High School. We've got the Unibasin Technical College. We've got Utah State University. And to the south of the project, when it intersects with Roosevelt, we've got Centennial Middle School. This road would give shoulders, sidewalk, and a little bit of widening, and would be really a safety item that we'd like to take care of. It's been something that's needed to be done for a lot of years. The road was probably constructed originally in the 50s, 60s. It was a dirt road when my wife grew up in the 60s and 70s. And Uinta County had a natural asphalt pit over there, and a lot of roads in Uinta County were paved out of that pit. So it's really nice, and we just like to get this roadway done. It's just kind of dragging on. We look, 2, 3, 4 years, and with this funding, we'd be able to achieve the completion of the project. And we got commissioners from Duchesne and Uinta County, and they both support it. It's something that's used down below us. There's a field of wells, probably 100 wells, within 5 miles of our city. And this roadway continues, goes south and ends up going towards Ouray. And there's a lot of activity there. And then it continues a little further south and bends back towards Mighton, and there's been a lot of activity there. One field, it's called the Wamick Field. It's kind of interesting. When I first moved to the basin in the early 70s, there were no wells in that area. And most everybody that worked in oil and gas thought that it was an area that really wasn't conducive to drilling. But due to the fact with the horizontal drilling and the methods they use today, there's probably at least 100 wells there and more being drilled, and they stockpile frac sand, and there's a lot of activity in our area. So any questions from the board? I appreciate this opportunity today. Mike, do you got anything to add?
I would just, that map you have up, this project encompasses the purple and the green. You'd have to scroll down to see the green again, areas. So it extends from what we call phase one, which is under construction, down through, it would include phase two and phase three. Phase two is that blue or purple? I'm a little bit hard with colors.
Yeah.
whatever color that is,
yeah.
And the green, and reconstruct the intersection. There's an orange dashed line on the left side of that map. That is a future project with Duchesne County and Roosevelt City. And the plan would be to connect 1500 East to 800 South. You can see in the bottom left-hand corner there's the Centennial Elementary School. This would, there currently are no east-west corridors across Cottonwood Creek from Lagoon Street all the way down to Poline Road at several miles north and south. So that's the ultimate plan, and this would be obviously Ballard's portion to make that happen. That's all I would add.
Let's go to the board for questions then. Thank you, gentlemen. Commissioner Lytle, we'll start with you. Commissioner Ogden.
I don't know how much will be questioned as a statement.
Statements are appropriate.
This is a great project from my perspective, and I think you touched on it, but you could have spent more time on it. The fact that you've got Roosevelt City, Ballard City, Uinta County, and Duchesne County, and this project brings all four of them together, this is significant. Their ask is reasonable and within the deal. The matrix, I guess, is what, if I'm reading it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
15 years or 10?
Yes, ma'am?
15 years or 10?
That would be the question that
it
would
probably
have.
Need to be 10. I think that mineral, it's not mineral lease money. It would be BMC road money and other funding. Right, Mayor? Is that, yeah.
But you are you looking at putting joint highways money into it at some point? Has that been funded, or is that
the Joint Highway today? Committee funding has been funded,
secured
and awarded? Yes, it's secured.
And then you're 2 years out before.
Yes, yeah, and that would be the green or the blue or purple one on the map. That is the portion that's funded by the Joint Highway Committee, and the plan would be with this project construct both those. Those phases, phase two and phase three, and then reimburse the loan, or at least as much as the loan as you can, with the Joint Highway Committee funding when it's available.
Okay.
Good questions. Let's go
I'd
to
be Mr. willing
Ogden,
to make a motion
we'll
when appropriate.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that, Commissioner.
Okay, I just, in your background statement here, you're talking about converting your federal funds to state. Where are you in that process? I mean, you said that obviously that's going to save you some costs if you can get it converted. How does that work?
I'm going to take that.
Tell me a little bit about that. Is that something that you can?
Yeah, the converting from federal to state funds is a process that's occurred on a few of these Joint Highway Committee projects. If this is funded with CIB, then that's the plan to try to make that happen and request it. It's not a foregone conclusion that it will be approved. UDOT has to have a project with federal funds in the area to be able to accept that exchange with federal and state funds. Sorry, so they can make that exchange on the project. So that would be a request that will go in if this is awarded.
Okay, then I get one other. So is this road, is it a minor collector or is this
a major collector?
That's a major collector. Okay. Let's see. Thought I had one more there, but okay. I think that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mayor Baker.
Okay, just to kind of clarify, and that was a question on me. You guys had asked for a 15-year on the loan, but if we could quickly look up what would that payment be as we have presented with the 15-year on split in half and half. What's their payment? Annual payment of $155. What if we went to the minimum, which would be shows in the tool, $939,000 loan at 10 years at 0%?
It would have to.
It was a zero, but I know where you're coming from thinking about the bonus money, but what would that payment come in at? What I was thinking is I know why you wanted 15 year trying to extend that payment so you had affordability, but if we could get down to a zero.
Well, and with the federal funding coming in to help pay off some of that loan, I think that's less of an issue.
less of an issue.
Yeah,
okay.
That's
where I, that's what I was trying to get to help them if we could, but okay. And I can, was there any further questions? I think Jack was going to make a motion, but I'm ready to too, so.
Please proceed.
Go ahead.
I'd make a motion that we go ahead and approve this project at a $1,514,000 loan for 15 years at a 0.5%.
10 years.
It's got to be 10. You said you're good at 10.
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's what I was trying to, okay. That 10%, and then 1,500,000.
We could avoid 10%.
Let me get me back.
Interest rates are rising, but they're not quite there yet.
See what happens when you run in front of
us? I should stay out of it.
Marlo's going to second that motion.
No.
I knew I'd get corrected on that one.
Now that we've set the tone for the rest of the meeting.
So 10-year at a 0.5%, and then the $1,514,000 grant.
And are you funding?
And yeah, suspend and fund.
Is this considered a funding meeting, or do we need to suspend and fund each project, Janice? I was considering it a funding meeting. We'll consider this a funding meeting, so no
okay.
Suspend and fund is necessary. Thank you, Mayor, for bringing that up, and thank you for the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Well, we have Commissioner Lytle. Was in the line of sight, so he gets the second. Treasurer, we'll get you next time. Any discussion on the motion?
Marlo never sit on the same side of the room as me.
That's right.
True.
I got the blinder. I could wrap this. Candace, will you roll call vote?
The only person he can see on that side is Bruce, so that's fine.
Ballard City. 1500 East Street Improvements, Phase 2 and 3. A $1,514,000 loan, 10-year at 0.5% interest, and a $1,514,000 grant. Treasurer Oaks?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Dean Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously with those present.
Thank
Mayor,
you.
Thank you. Appreciate
yeah, thank
it.
You.
And I will forever have in my mind a picture of Mike's face when Mayor said 10%.
I was like, yeah.
It's exactly right. Forget that.
That might be a little more than...
You also might want to trade that chair out.
Probably.
Take that out of
it. Yeah, it has no.
Good one, Jack.
Definitely worth the price of admission. Thank you. Project 4.2, UNA Fire Suppression Special Service District, as they're coming forward and sitting in whichever chair they choose, we'll let Candace do a briefing on the project.
One kind of has a parka.
Number two on today's agenda is from UNTA Fire Suppression Special Service District. This is for the Tridell Fire Station and Community Center. The request is for $3,473,000, of which they've requested a $348,000 loan, 30-year at zero, and a $3,125,000 grant. This project is to construct a new 150-by-75-square-foot steel fire station and community center. It will include four truck bays, locker room, restrooms, office, training room, community room, areas, utilities, everything and appurtenances that belong and can make this building functional. UNTA Fire Suppression Special Service application was submitted June 1, 2020. They wanted 100% grant. They've gone back and sharpened their pencil. They withdrew that one. In the public hearing, which was December 15, 2021, the district said the cost was increased to $3.5 million from their original request. So as we all know, as time marches on, costs for construction do increase. My question for this project is, what is the revenue source for repayment? It does appear they're pledging mineral lease revenue, and if that is indeed the source, verification that they have the ability to pledge that. But I believe you're a special service district that receives mineral lease. Is that correct? Okay. And that is my question. It's the project is now theirs to discuss, and I turn the time over to Chairman Heaton.
Thank you for the briefing. Gentlemen, if you'll introduce yourselves for the record and then tell us about about the project.
Thank you, board members and staff. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. I am Jeremy Raymond. I'm the director of UNA Fire District, and I'll let these fine gentlemen go ahead and introduce themselves.
Tyler McKee, the fire chief of La Pointe Treadell Fire Department.
Marcus Perry, assistant chief of La Pointe Treadell.
And I'm Brian Gorham. I'm the chair of the board.
Also like to recognize Bob Abercrombie sits on our fire board, and also Commissioner Bart Haslam, who's also in the audience, sits on our fire board as well. So appreciate the opportunity to be here. Just very quickly, we did submit our application a few years ago. We felt at the time that we weren't in a good financial situation to begin this project. Now we have feel like we can put some more skin in the game, so to speak. We have a wildland program that we have funded on our own that we feel, as long as wildfires will continue to be a problem across the nation, we feel that that revenue source or that stream coming in will help support this project. We have also been able to coordinate our efforts with UNA County in having this be a combined project with a community center. And so our plan is moving forward, the majority of this building will be used as a fire station because of the critical fire and life safety for our community. But at the same time, realize combining projects and making this into one will help reduce and save some costs with that as well. Our community has been economically impacted by oil and gas. As you can see up here, if you can all see this map right up here, UNA County, just in the La Pointe Treadell service area. So you're looking at the orange and then also the blue down there being Avalon. La Pointe Treadell Fire Department and Avalon are automatically aided together. So if there's any call in any area, both departments respond. We found that out to be very beneficial. Just in those two areas, they have a producing well count of 3,074. Proposed well count of 471. They cover a service area, square miles, 2,000 square miles, 5,000 residents approximately, a yearly average call volume of 74, all with 27 volunteer paid on-call firefighters. Our existing station, as you can see right here, was actually built in 1980 and has served the community well for quite a few years, but as you can see on there, it does not meet our current needs. We see a increase in call volume and population within this coverage area on the west side of the county, and approximately 45% of our call volume is related to the energy industry. So we're definitely feeling the need of having a new station to meet our current needs and our future needs as well. The new station, like Candace said, consists of 11,000 square feet building, four bays, training area, and a community area. We feel like we've been very fiscally responsible with our funds in the past. Being funded by Mineral Lease, it's been difficult at times, as you all are aware of with your revenue stream. But we feel like we have saved, we have done everything possible, and using our volunteers to help keep those costs low. The majority of our CIB projects in the past have been matched by a 50% of our in-kind money. We have budgeted $10,000 cash for the project and spent $40,000 in securing land. So if you look just to the north here, we have purchased an acre of land just north of that existing building. And we've spent about $10,000 in preliminary design work as well. And I also failed to mention our Aaron Everett with Sunrise Engineer, so if we have any questions, he's also here today. We would prefer around a $15,000 yearly loan. We feel like that as a board is about what we could do for a yearly loan for 30 years at zero interest, if that's at all possible. So that's our project and presentation, and we'll open it up for any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Let's go to the board for questions.
I see that you have a contingency of about 12%. Is that enough?
I'm going to direct that question to our engineer.
Candace had mentioned that we redid the numbers last September. Since that time, the building went up, mm-hmm. still went up, and then it stabilized a little. and so we're watching that constantly. But there's a contingency built into those individual line item numbers as well, too. So the overall project contingency you see, there's another one on top of that in the line items themselves.
What does it amount to?
If I was to
say $400,000.
$400,000 is the overall contingency. Oh. If I was to guess today with watching, then I think you have almost that amount again, too.
Okay, so you have about a 24% contingency overall.
If you said today, probably. Okay. And then let's watch and see what the steel building does. So that's the big thing. The other part of what we've talked about as well, too, is that as things are changing, we have looked at other types of construction that would bring the construction cost down and bring it within the budget as well, too. So there's some alternatives that might be different from the steel building to still accomplish the same goal for less money.
I can't speak for the board. Brian could speak for the board, being the chair. Not representing everybody, but whatever you give us today, we will make it work. We will try not. I can't guarantee we won't be back here, but we will make it work with what we have, with what we receive.
Commissioner Ogden.
Reading through some of your notes, I guess one of the things is mineral lease can only be extended to 15 years. You can't go out to 30 on that. So that was one question I have for you. You said you've had a lot of calls. How many have you increased over the year?
So in Colbot, last year was a unique year, but the year before we had, so our average call volume, I think he said, was 74. We went up to 100 call volume. And so it's steadily increasing at an exponential rate. I would say about six or seven years ago, we were about 40 was our call volume, and now we're up to 100. So if that tells you, we're increasing every year exponentially.
What was last year? Got another question for you.
I can't remember right off the top of my head. I can pull that up as we're looking.
You said it was unique.
So it was unique. Being a dry year, we should have had more wildland calls. So our energy calls last year was much higher. Our wildland calls were lower. Yes. What was the other question?
You guys are all red carded, I presume.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm the firefighter as well, retired. I've been just stepped down after 35 years. That was long enough.
Well, thank you for your service.
Anyway, appreciate you guys. One other thing, you mentioned a little bit about in your notes here about the funding sources. You've got other funding sources that can help if you need to, I guess, fulfill your obligation as a payment. Library funds, other, you know, Commissioner Haslam has talked about that. You've had other sources of funds. Could you mention what some of that?
Yeah, so the biggest revenue source that will help pay for this is going to be our wildland program. We figure if we go out on so many calls a year, we should be able to make that payment back, which we feel confident unless we don't get a lot of fires, then we may have to look at some of the other in-source revenue to help pay for that. And then we've also contacted the county and Commissioner Haslam can talk more about it, but we, being a combined project, we are looking to see if the county would like to lease part of that or enter in an agreement to help make that a community center and make that available to the public.
So what are you going to be doing with your old facility? Are you going to be keeping that? Or
it'll actually be the new footprint will be torn down, so it'll go right over the top of the new facility.
Okay. Yep. Guess back to the first question. How are we going to handle this? Is that correct? Mineral lease monies can only go 15?
Correct. Yeah, so that was, I was not aware of that rule. So, yeah, whatever loan payment we can make within a 15-year, again, keeping in mind that annual payment of $15,000 or close to that, you know, if we needed to go up as high as 20, I think we could make that work. Again, not speaking for my board, but that's where we felt comfortable.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All the questions I have.
Let's go to Treasurer Oaks, and then Candace has a comment.
So what is the revenue source for repayment of a loan?
The revenue source would be our wildland program.
Wild?
that's not me.
Wild land program.
Wild land.
Land.
Okay. Wild land, okay. Yep. So what we did is we have budgeted, starting this year, an in-house program of a full-time wildland firefighter and the purchase of a brush truck, and those resources will be available to go out on calls nationwide. And in fact, okay. Today our crew is in New Mexico.
Oh, so. Okay. And they pay.
So what happens is we have an agreement with the state of Utah, Division of Natural Resources, and we go out and take care of the fire. The fire district takes care of the money up front, and then we invoice the state of Utah, and then they pay us back. And then in return, the state of Utah goes to the New Mexico and then gets reimbursed as well.
Okay, got it.
I apologize for interjecting here. It's the board's decision, but I do need clarity because after this funding goes in place, you need to make it happen. So if you request the funding and you've pledged mineral lease funds, it's not the board's decision. It's the rule of the mineral lease funds that it can only be pledged for 15 years max term. Which, at the beginning when you were saying what payment you can accommodate, you said $30,000 annually. But then you just said a $30,000 payment with a 15-year term at 0.5% would be a $226,000 loan. That would be max to make an annual payment of $30,000, if $30,000 is too high, or if there is a different revenue source, because as you know, you go 15 years, you condense whatever loan that is into bigger payments.
Yeah.
If you've mortgaged out. If you go 30 years, which is what you could ask or did ask for $348,000, you thought you could go a 30-year term, but you've cited other revenue sources. So, depending on which revenue source that you can pledge, it will give you a lower payment. It will allow the board to get a higher loan out there so that's where their funding is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really need to make sure that you know what you're going to pledge and that you can afford it.
If we pledge the wildland revenue, can we still pay it with mineral lease revenue?
Yes. If that's the pledge, once you...
Okay.
So then you could go 30 years with that revenue source.
Yeah.
You could pay it off with your mineral lease. You could assist with mineral lease,
yeah.
But that wouldn't be the dedicated pledged revenue source. So work with your bond counsel, but the board
yeah.
needs to authorize. I can lower the term, but I can't increase it. That's the board. Once the board makes the decision, that's why it's so imperative that we get clarification here for the board's authorized funding.
Thank you, Candace.
Yeah, thank you.
Mayor Baker?
Question with that. My thoughts as I'm listening to this, if they pledged mineral lease revenue for 15 years and took their wildland revenues, if they can, I'm not saying they can or not, just as a thought, and put it away to save up for the last 15 years to make your payments on them, would that be a possible revenue way to do it?
It's just how we would issue the bond. Because all of CIB's loans go out with the issuance of bonds, and so all those revenue sources get dedicated with a revenue source.
Yeah.
But that could extend it to the 30 years.
To the 30 years.
If they pledge the different revenue sources.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless of what they use to pay it, but the pledge
yeah.
on the revenue source
yeah.
would be
right.
the
yeah.
issue. May I
Commissioner
continue? Lytle? If you could do a $30,000, so with that comment, If it goes to 30 years with a $30,000 payment, what is the loan grant mix? We're kind of coming into it the back door
yeah.
way.
And just a follow-up comment there. We did mention in our public hearing that $30,000, and that would be really the max
uh-huh.
annual amount that we could afford.
Right.
I got one comment. Your
before
wildfire.
You go too far, could we see
go
what
ahead.
Those numbers look like?
Tell right
me.
There. In
the so what's the grant loan mix in percentages?
24% loan.
Okay.
A 0.5% on that
one. On a half? And
no.
Can
no.
we go to 0.25?
We never have. I don't know.
Does that
I would recommend it.
Why do we want to go to 5?
We tend to stay in half increments, so I don't know that there's a rule.
All right, thank you.
Let's go to Commissioner Ogden.
I just had one other question. On your fire program, your wildland fire, that's not constant. That's one thing that concerns me a little bit, you know. I've been out on a few of those wildfires, and sometimes you get called and sometimes you don't. So I'm a little concerned about pledging that money as one of your revenue sources.
Well, as I've been chairman of the board for 13 years, and in a boom bust area that the Uinta County, Uinta Basin is, it's hard to project anything. I mean, it's absolutely scary. We have never taken debt as a board because we are, you know, we're afraid of not having money. But this is such a necessary project that, of course, as soon as we built other fire stations, as soon as we built them, they've been obsolete. We should have planned two more bays. We should have done this. We should have done that. We're looking at the future here. This is this area's one and done type of deal. This is their shot. So we're asking for a large enough building that we think that it will facilitate this community for years to come. The reason that we did the wildfire program is because we were looking for a revenue source. We started that Friday. We hired a person Friday. He went out on Monday. So, you know, we're hopeful that's going to be a very successful program. We do have contingencies built in, but as far as $30,000, I'm fearful of that. If we can do anything lower, it'd be wonderful. But we will make anything that you give us work. We make things happen. We will make it happen.
Thank you, Commissioner Lytle.
So, thank you to Commissioner Ogden on the fire part of it. Having played in that world a little bit too. So, are you making your money off equipment rental or a percentage of the wage that's going to be contracted out? And then are we talking federal through, and are you going as a single resource or a resource agency? I'm going to ask about 10, and then you can figure out how to answer. Because when you do that, there's different scenarios for each of them, as you know. But if you're going, I just want to know how you're making the money off it or doing the money so that, because there's a difference between whether you're going wildland on private, whether you're going wildland on tribal, or on federal, are you being called out by Cheryl to these things and going through that system? And so I know you're making friends with Cheryl if you're going to count on making money. So.
Well, actually, our assistant chief now works in the fire center as well for the DNR,
okay.
So that helps. But yes, so most of these, or all of them for the most part, will all be out on federal land fires because they obviously pay the best in that scenario. Engine crew is what we're sending out with the ability to go single resource if needed. That's what's going on right now.
Okay, but so you're making your money off rental, off the equipment?
Well, it's a contracted rate, yeah.
How many days out on fire do you expect to need to make the payments at $15,000 or $30,000 if that's where your base, if that's, how many days out or what kind of equipment rental are you looking at?
We figured 5 to 6 runs, if I remember right, is what it would take. 14-day shifts, yeah.
Sorry to go into the weeds on it, but
no, that's perfect.
You guys brought it out.
Yeah,
we've
talked about it. Yes.
If you look at the state of Utah in whole, how much is federal and state land? What, like 80% in the state of Utah? So it's most likely, and there's even 20%, I believe, of tribal land, which again we contract out. So there are opportunities within our own area and state, like the commissioner mentioned, but we are going nationally. So if they need us in California, New Mexico, Arizona, these are opportunities that we really
haven't tapped into before because we're all local and we're volunteer. Now where we're having the resources committed, we're being made more available. So we're going to see our money, which average in the last 10 years, we've probably averaged $100,000 revenue just in wildland fires.
What did you make off it rather than what you did? I mean, how were you able to...
So about 50% of what... 50% of what we get back, 50% of that goes back into the actual cost, and then the other 50% is revenue.
That's what I'm... Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Give or take?
Give or take. Of course, you know, you look at 100%, you got 50% cost, and then you get back and you have to repair the truck and get it ready to
That's
go again.
There's
so
overhead.
There's probably about a 25-30% margin there.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Just one more scenario since we got it up there. If we were to look at a 30-year at 0.5% interest and do $500,000 loan with the idea of 15 years as your mineral release money with 15 years to build that, your wildland fire up to pay the last 15 years off, what kind of payment does that get us to? Go to a 30-year term. That's 17.
With the loan grant mix that you've got?
Right. $500,000, yeah. What if we went to a 0%? I know. That drops it not very much. So.
What was the 0.5% again, the amount, annual payment?
Was 17, 18 to 16, 2,000 a year more difference. Could you live with 17 if we did that scenario for you?
Yeah, that's right at 18,000. We can do that.
I'll second that motion.
Yes.
Okay. We'll take that as a motion from Mayor Baker and a second from Commissioner Lytle. Any discussion on the motion? Candace, do you have it down correctly?
Which one of those long scenarios is
the last one? I thought she was going to, you could afford a 30 annual payment.
Yeah, I thought I heard.
That's what I was trying to figure out. So we're down to 17 and not 30.
So, you know, 30,000 is me not sleeping. I worry about this. I've been trying to get off the board for the last couple of years. 3 years ago, we were literally worried about what we were going to do for gas.
Welcome to our world.
It's, you know, it, yeah, it's, you know, do you leave a board that, that's in a bad financial situation, or do you stick it out and give some of the keys to a nice shiny car? We've been through some hard times and, you know, but we also know that we're looking at some better times, but we're also looking at 30 years, 15 years. That's a long time. It's just scary. I'm going to ask you for as much as you can give us. I'm just going to be blunt about it. Whatever you give us, we'll do. We'll find a way to do it, but we scrape and we save and we do everything we can to spend the money the best way possible. We are not a frivolous district, and like I said, we've never actually asked for a loan before because we didn't want to be in this position, but we're our backs against the wall. So we'll leave it to you.
Okay. So, Mayor Baker, Commissioner Lytle, because that's outside of the tool range, we'll need an exemption?
Good question, Chairman. Financial hardship?
Is this a Santa Claus factor?
Yeah.
In there? What you call it, yeah. Okay, financial hardship would be the exemptions. Any questions from the board on the motion?
I'd like to have it repeated so I understand what we're doing.
Thank you. Candace, would you please repeat the motion?
The motion from Mayor Baker and Commissioner Lytle was to fund the Tridell Fire Station Community Center
which their request was $3,473,000, as a $500,000 loan, 30-year, 0.5%, and a $2,973,000 grant. And I noted that they always like to not take on debt because CIB has funded all of their previous projects with 100% grant.
Actually, that's 50% match, most of them.
50%
yes, we usually come to the table with money.
This time they have 10.
Yeah. This time we don't have a lot of money.
So
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the roll call vote then, Candace.
Thank you. Treasurer Oakes?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
No.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes with one in the negative for those who are in attendance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Make it happen, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Best wishes. Yep, good discussion. Let's go to our next project, which is the Unit Transportation Special Service District. And as they come forward, Candace, will you brief us on the project, please?
Number three on the agenda today is Uinta Transportation Special Service District. I know it appears like we have all of Uinta Basin here today, but we were trying to save them an extra trip, which we did, by putting them on the funding meeting originally when we thought we had till June. But we appreciate them getting ready quickly. Number three is for Red Wash Road improvements. Their request is for a $3,532,000 grant. This is for about 4.4 miles of roadway design, realignment, drainage, pavement, shoulder improvements. I will once again caution them and the board that whenever there is a realignment of pavement, they need to check and make sure that they contact SHPO. SHPO does not stop any projects, but they do oversee it so that when you're in the area that you're in and you relay a road, you don't give us artifacts. In the road addendum, it shows that they receive $5,609,491 in annual revenue, of which there were $6,757,54 expenses. So how were those expenses accommodated? Good sharp pencil. They don't receive any BNC road funds. They do receive mineral lease, and I think they're one of the special service districts which mineral lease is directly provided to them before CIBs. And I don't know what the percentage is, but they do get direct mineral lease. The public hearing was held February 17th, 2022, and there was no discussion of a possible loan except for a reference to taking on debt, which no one likes to do. But what is the status of the revenue source for if the board would accommodate a loan? What would be your pledged revenue source?
Mineral lease funds.
Thank you. And I will turn the time over to Chairman.
Well, thank you, Candace. Appreciate that. Welcome, Cheryl, if you'll introduce yourself and
thank
tell
you.
Us what you will.
Perfect. Thank you, Board, for letting me be here today. My name is Cheryl Meyer. I'm the Director of the Transportation Special Service District in Uinta County. The project that we have before you, and I passed out a little handout, and we'll kind of go over those pictures in a minute, just something for you to see and hold. This particular road, there's a map on there, and it's also a map in your little packet I handed out. This particular road is a major collector. The length of this project, this phase of this project, is 4.4 miles. About 8.2 miles of This road has previously been completed by the district. With that, the previous project up until this point that's been funded has been funded by UTSSD and federal monies. And I just wanted to note that just to CIB hasn't participated in this project, and that is why we're feeling that we can come to CIB to help us to fund the remainder of this phase. The realignment that Candace talked about is partly due to this runs adjacent to the Green River. We will be trying to go into the hillside and stay away from the river, helping with drainage issues and everything like that. You can see some of the pictures how close it is to the Green River. We have created a funding package that we felt is shows a great partner. We do have this particular section of road of 4.4 miles. We've estimated is around $8.5 million. The UTSSD will have, we have $3 million that we have been saving for this particular project. We have partnered with Uinta County and requested a up to $2 million from their B road funds for this particular road, and they have given us a letter of cooperation for that $2 million, which brings the ask of total grant to the 3.532, which is about 41% of the this entire project. One thing that I want to note is the entire project of about 12, almost 13 miles of road, if this is funded as proposed, CIB will have participated at 15% of this project. This project is very important to connect Highway 40 and Highway 45. Takes some heavy truck traffic. Right now they are going around the long way. Heavy truck traffic, it would alleviate some of that off of Highway 40.
What's the long way?
Going up, I don't know if the map completely shows it. Yes, yeah. Down Bonanza, so Highway 40 all the way down to the Bonanza Highway, down through to 45. If you want to look at your pictures, figure 3, that is a section of the previous completed Red Wash Road. Figure 4 is the transition of where it stopped. 5 and 6, as you can see, are extremely weathered and pavement cracking. Then as you just go through, you can just see the extent of the road, the guardrails, the sloughing off on the sides of the shoulders, the photo next to the Green River. So with that, are there any questions?
Let's go to the board for questions. Treasurer?
I just had a clarification. I thought I heard you say that B and C road funds are not...
They don't get any.
They don't get any?
But the county is going to pledge some of theirs.
Oh, okay. That's $2
million? Up to.
Yes, up to $2 million. So if the project end up... When we searched this project out several years ago, because this is the remaining phase of this project, and money has, as we all are aware, has we've seen some pretty... In 2020, Transportation District received 50 payments throughout the year. So this has just been put off this long. But, yes, so the county, if it ends up not being... if it ends up being under those costs, that payment will come off of the county B road funds end.
Okay.
Any loan amount would?
No, sorry. If it ends up not being $8.5 million total funding, we will still have our $3 million cash match. CIB grant would still be the 3.5, and the county would then reduce their $2 million if we came under budget. And we have added in to this project consideration for the rising costs of
oil
and
everything.
Commissioner Adams?
So it looks to me like an $8.532 million project. They're putting up $5 million of that 8.53. This seemed like a reasonable request to me, and I'm ready to make a motion.
Any other questions before we accept the motion?
I have one, and then I'll second your motion. How old is the road that we're going to pulverize right now? When was that?
So
how long has it been there?
If I could phone a friend.
About
60 years old.
There's your friend.
There's my friend. Commissioner Haslam with Uinta County. It is a native asphalt road, so it is.
It is. That road's a native asphalt road. It was put in, it was actually paved in about the 60s with the native asphalt. It wasn't made to hold the traffic that we're hauling out of there now. Two points that I'd like to point out is this is a major collector road, like Cheryl has said, but it's a major collector road off of the mineral, off the federal ground. A lot of these roads come off state and tribal ground. This one comes off the federal ground, which the mineral lease money comes from. There's two roads that come out of these fields, but this road actually supplies about four of your major producers on the federal ground. It gives them about 21 mile less road to travel to get out to the Highway 40. It really cuts the time down, and it's less impact on our other roads. I just wanted to say that most of your oil and gas that comes off federal ground will use this road. And then just to clarify things, with the technology that we had, this comment came up earlier, is with the technology we're using now, we can drill at about $45 a barrel and be profitable instead of 60. And right now in this area, there is proposed there. 2 years ago, we didn't have any drilling rigs out there. Right now, we have four, and we have another one coming for that area that will be drilling on federal ground. So with this will really help our drilling out there.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Let's go, Commissioner Taylor, you kind of had
I was just going to second his motion.
Okay, when we're ready. Okay. Let's go to Commissioner
Ogden then. Okay, I think I've asked this question before. With the impact from, and I know this is kind of a double-edged sword, but when we have truck traffic and things in the counties, a lot of times if they have a lot of impact on those roads, do you ever get anything out of those, out of the trucking companies or the oil rig companies that go up and down these roads? Just a comment. I think the answer has been no, because they're pulling the oil out, and that's what's helping with this situation.
That has been the answer is no, and ultimately I believe that they have the argument that they are paying through their mineral lease, that they're pulling the minerals, and so they are paying for the upkeep of these roads.
Well, I was kind of wondering if you could borrow a little bit from the fire department there. Just give them a little
they money. Seem like they have a lot of extra money.
Can I say one thing on that, though?
Sure.
Not to interfere with what you got going on, but the oil companies are a great partner for us. Mm-hmm. They help in other areas that we don't have to come to the CIB for. If I can steal from the fire department, one of the companies that will be using this road on one side of their industry just donated a fire truck to the fire department. Mm-hmm. It was, $500,000-$600,000 truck that they just donated that we don't have to come to the CIB and ask for money. So they are good partners. They're just doing it in other ways.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Baker?
I'm just going to reiterate, it goes into the Red Wash Field, which is fantastic, and it will help save both roads with spreading the traffic that now is traveling on one because this other road's too terrible. So I'd just like to call on the motion that we got on the table.
All right. Well, question's been called. Commissioner, motion?
I'm just hoping my motion isn't at 10%.
Oh. Me too.
I'm just waiting to substitute my phone.
Yeah.
No, I'd make a motion that we grant the request as presented to us, and the exemption would be a unique project.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Adams, a second by Commissioner Taylor as presented. Unique project was the exemption. Any discussion on the motion from the board? Seeing none, Candace, will you roll call vote the vote, please? Vote the vote.
The motion is for a $3,532,000 grant to Uinta Transportation Special Service District. They have $3 million applicant cash. Uinta County has pledged B Road funds up to $2 million for a project total of $8,532,000. Treasurer Oakes.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously with those present.
Well, thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you,
Commissioner. Drill, baby, thank drill.
Appreciate you guys.
Yes. Thank you, board members.
That's right.
Vernal City, look at, they're already up and on their way. They're eager.
Could we recess for just a moment, or I can just excuse myself?
Sure. Let's take a 5 to 10 minute recess.
Yeah.
Thank you. Quinn's getting eager.
Well, I think he's
All right, everyone got really quiet. So, welcome back. Candace, if you would like to brief us on the Vernal City application.
Welcome, Vernal. Number four on the agenda today. Yes, we're on number four, and it is 10:27 a.m. This project...
We're moving through those quickly. That's wonderful. Thank you.
On all perspectives.
Don't jinx us, Jack.
Okay.
Their project is for downtown streets and utilities, and it includes water and sewer. Their request is for a $4,992,000 CIB package, of which they've requested a $2 million loan, 30-year at 0.5, and a $2,992,000 grant. It is within the tool range. Project total is $4,992,000. There is no other applicant cash. If you look at their MAGI, which was provided in the DEQ review in your board packet, it shows that 1.75% of MAGI for the water could be 62.56. Their current water bill is 35.22. For their current water sewer rate, it could be 50.05, but their current rate is 35.22. I said that wrong. So the MAGI for water was 42.9. They have wiggle room, but they have come in with within the tool range. It is going to address several things. They've shown that the revenue source is special transportation tax. My question is that source eligible for all components of this project to be pledged for the repayment? The city is seeking other grants, and they stated that in the public hearing minutes. What are the other grants?
The first project will be completed this summer. Let's see, it's April 29th. Okay. No invoices incurred prior to the board funding authorization will be reimbursed. And that's just FYI. So once today is funded, every invoice dated this date will be eligible for reimbursement from the funding authorization the board provides. The estimate shows roadway, water, and sewer, but no parking lots and walking paths. It was that this would benefit a future walking path, or are there components included in this project that are like that? In the written description, this project will replace aged and undersized utilities serving two blocks of the intersection of Main Street, and that's Highway 40, so it does receive traffic. This will enlarge the sewer tank line servicing this area to continue service into the future, and electrical utilities need to be relocated. The electrical utilities referred to in this application are eligible. The board does not usually fund electricity, putting in the infrastructure for a private entity. But if you're messing it up, you better fix it. From the AOG review, are the other funding sources in place, and what will they accommodate? Because they were indicated to be ARPA funds and UDOT, outdoor recreation. You list several. So what are the other funding sources? And with that, it will be, and it has the potential to be, a great project.
So thank you, Candace. Before you introduce yourselves, gentlemen, and tell us about the project, I will note that it's a good project within the tool range, so sometimes saying less is better. So maybe just stick to answering Candace's questions and the board's questions. Anyway, far be it from me to issue words to the wise. So, gentlemen, introduce yourselves, please.
Well, thank you. Good morning. I'm Quinn Binion, the city manager. Vernal, Mayor Hammond is with us here this morning, and Keith Despain is our public works director, and I've been a really good addition on staff. As with all the projects today, we're right in the heart of mineral extraction country in Vernal, and as you know, we do not, as a city, receive PILT or mineral lease money directly. This is our access to mineral lease funds. Over a year ago, we worked with CIB staff to do a planning project for downtown Vernal, and it went really well. A lot of public engagement and very robust feedback that we had from the public. That plan resulted in a number of identified public and private improvements. So for this project today that we're requesting funding for, grant and loan, it's a portion of the larger plan. So to answer some of Candace's questions, we are seeking funding for other aspects of the downtown that fit better for those funding sources. We felt like this project was a good match for the CIB funding source with water, sewer, streets. So we established a CRA, a community reinvestment area, and we'll be using those funds where best appropriate. We received a federal community investment grant, or formerly known as earmark. We've been approved for that. We do have a UDOT grant to help with the Vernal Avenue, but similar to Ballard, those funds don't come in for 2 years, and we need to supplement those. The county is putting in ARPA funds, city's putting in ARPA funds. We have received Part A and Part B county grants for certain components. For example, our public parking lot for the summer is a Part B county economic development grant. And we will be submitting in the future for LCWA and Outdoor Rec next year. So hopefully that answered that question. On the backing of the loan, we did put in the application the transportation sales tax. We, in consultation with our finance advisor, we will actually use general sales tax funds to back it, but use the transportation funds to pay it. It comes out better with our coverage.
And that would be eligible for a 30-year term then? Excellent. Anything else, Ben?
I think that covers it.
Let's go to the board. Mr. Stevens.
I just had a question, a clarification. You indicated, I think both you and Candace indicated that it was within the tool range. But the tool range, the request was for 30 years, and the tool range is all 15 years.
Depends on the pledge.
Yeah.
And I show the tool range being 30.
He's looking at the old one, I think.
I must have an old one then.
Yeah, because the old one was like that, and Candace fixed that. But yeah, they are pledging
a 30-year. It shows 15 on the...
Oh, okay.
It's
15?
It's because of the interleague.
Yeah. And they've clarified the source is a 30-year eligible term.
It'll be general sales tax.
Okay.
Act. Thank you.
Good, excellent. Appreciate you picking up
good
on that.
Catch.
Yep. He's not sleeping through his last meeting. Okay. Well, seeing no other questions.
Well, I just want to give them a kudos, you know, for doing this, reading through some of their minutes and things. They've increased their water rates and also their sewer rates. And... water and sewer and streets, that's incredible that we're funding something that we're actually supposed to be funding. So I would, and it's within the range, I would make that motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. That motion is in order. We have a second by Commissioner Lytle to fund as presented. Any discussion? Candace, will you roll call vote, please?
Is this a 30-year?
30 years, yes.
30-year.
Sales tax revenues.
Discussion before you start the roll call.
Oh, yes, please.
I just want to tell them thank you very much for bringing this kind of a project and with the work that they've done. Knowing that we've kind of put them through their own hell, even during the AOG, and making sure that they're alert to the questions and the things that we're attentive to, and they've attended to them. So thank you very much.
Thank you for those comments. Thank you, Mayor.
This is for Vernal City's Downtown Streets and Utilities Project. Their request is for a $4,992,000 package, of which $2 million is a loan, 30 years at 0.5%, and $2,992,000 is grant. Treasurer Oakes.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously with those present.
Right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Best wishes for this project. Yeah. It should be a good one.
Come visit us.
Hey, Mayor, you're welcome to come down on another ride down there for the ATV Jamboree.
I like your attitude. So next, there's pending projects, Candace, is that correct? My Granicus is weird for some reason. Pending projects, Daggett County, Commissioner Lytle, is that on the agenda today?
It is.
All right, then we'll invite them to come forward, and Candace, if you would give us a quick update.
The pending project on today's agenda is from Daggett County Municipal Building Authority. It's for Dutch John Water Improvements. Their request initially was $5,190,000 total. That was on the pending list in September 2021. Their request was for a $779,000 loan, 30-year at 5.5%, and a $4,411,000 grant. It was discussed at the September 2nd meeting. The motion was to place it on the pending list so that they could pursue ARPA for this project. So that's where they're coming from. They will now respond and clarify what the request is. It's outside the tool range, and I'm not certain that they have ARPA, but I will allow the applicant to speak to that. It's for water system improvements necessary. It's another good project.
Agreed. This is a good project. It's just devil's in the details. So, gentlemen, if you'll introduce yourselves and tell us about the project.
So I'm Commissioner Matt Tippetts. I'm the chair of the Board of Commissioners this year and also the Municipal Building Authority in Daggett County. We're so excited about this project that we appreciate you moving your meeting up a month to get it taken care of. So thank you. This is Trevor Brixby. He's the operator and director of the water and sewer system in the town of Dutch John. And I'll turn the time over to him.
Welcome.
Aaron Everett, also with Sunrise Engineering, is here with us as well.
So thank you for having us back. So the update for ARPA, we did apply for the ARPA funds, and turns out we were the first losers, not funded. So after the legislation changed their ARPA this year and sent it to Division of Drinking Water, we do have an application in with them. We were going to hear from them before your meeting, but you moved it up, so you guys get to be first choice now. So we don't know what we're going to get from them. We have heard that it is a fundable project through them, and it is a very good project. So we are here asking our original ask. We're going to try to get as much as we can from you guys. We are a unique situation of where we are. We've got high mobilization costs because we are an hour and a half for a concrete truck to get to us, so it's hard to get good concrete, so we have to bring a portable plant to us to do the project. So our mobilization costs are higher, and our transportation costs are higher. So that's two of the main costs that hit us for higher costs. And I know one of the questions the first go-around was the cost difference between a half million tank versus the million gallon tank we're asking to defer. And when we looked at that cost, by the time we get the batch plant and the concrete there, it's only about a 30% cost increase to go to the bigger tank. So we want to look for that future. So we're not back here in 10 years trying to build another tank in our unique situation. So while we've got the equipment there and the batch plant there, we want to get as much out of them as we can for our dollar. Any questions from the board?
Before we go to the board, Sky Seaver, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but is there anything that you can add to pending applications?
Do you want me to come up?
If you would, please. Sure. If you have something, if you don't have anything, then that's fine too. they did mention they've got an application in, so just try to get a feel for where that's at.
Yeah, this is Sky Seaver with Division of Drinking Water. The Dutch John did submit an application to us. That's going to be heard at our June 8th board meeting, June 7th. It's early June. I'm still working on a staff recommendation. We have a little bit of ARPA money that was given to the drinking water. They do qualify. They actually rate pretty high based on our project priority list criteria, so they have a good chance at it. Just like what happened with the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget Local Match program last year, we have gotten more requests for ARPA funding than we actually have available to give. So we're not quite sure how that's going to shake out. But
thank you for that update. Yeah. Appreciate it, Scott.
With that update, it came in as I was told, but I would rather hear it from you. Did it come in as a fully grantable or in terms of the grant loan mix?
It exceeds, we have a $3.5 million
cap.
limit.
Yeah.
So anything above that would have to be a
skin
loan.
In the game or whatever.
Yeah.
What did they request?
It was
from water quality.
The total project cost that they submitted was $5,184,000.
And they requested all?
They were indicating some of that was going to come from CIP, so that's still kind of
so what did they request from drinking water?
All of it.
Was it the whole, all of it?
If you take out what they could potentially get from CIP, it would be $4,131,000.
Okay, let's go to the board for further questions.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's all right. Okay, staff has a comment. Candace?
Once the board authorizes a funding package, we can reduce whatever you need to take, but it will be reduced in the same percentage as loan grant. Just of note, and I think you knew that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Candace.
We're all in deep thought on this one.
So, question.
Oh, treasure, please.
The other source of money, if we grant...
there's no other source right now.
Right now, correct. So we have a little interesting dynamic, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because if we go ahead and fund everything...
We can give them less when they get...
But I guess that's what I'm trying to understand is the dynamic with the other company or the other source of funds. Like if we're giving them all of it, then the other source of funds will say, okay, they're taken care of. We don't need to give them anything.
May I speak to that?
Yeah.
What I hope is so from the full disclosure, I'm a Daggett County Commissioner as well as involved in the water and sewer project program. We are not gaming one against the other. We've had time, and if you'd rather speak to it, I can defer. But we've, because of the way it went last spring, fall, after the when we had the other funding chance and we didn't make the list to be funded, it's like, how long do we keep this thing going? So if we ask for all of it from CIB, the thinking is, let's get the project moving. We have a percentage that we can work with in a loan grant mix that's up there. We would have to look at an exemption in order to, because it's outside of the deal. We would hope that Drinking Water would see that as a good faith effort, that we, even if they could fund, if they would fully fund it at $3.5 million, then come back to CIB, to Candace's point, where things could be reduced, not increased necessarily in terms of how we do it, and see if we can't come up with a way to fund it so that it's affordable for the system and it's the water users. It's not the MBA or the county or anybody else. It's the water users paying the bill. And we have a relatively high water rate right now. So we're trying to figure out a way to make it work and do it in good faith. We're not playing one against the other or trying to get a better deal from one or the other. We just need to get the project done. And a bird in the hand is CIB today. So that's what we're trying to do to hopefully make it work with both entities. If I've misspoke or if there's more to be said.
No, I think that's a good summary. We just need someone to take the lead. We thought that it would be, based on the calendar, that it would be the Division of Water Quality. But with the change in the schedule for this board, we're hoping that this board would be interested in taking the lead in helping us to move the ball forward.
Certainly. Mr. Stevens, did you have anything to add?
No.
Oh, what if we were to approve the loan grant mix but scale it down, right, to maybe $2.5 million total or something like that? What's the total project? Yeah, 5.2. With the understanding that after the water meeting, we can fill in the gaps after that. I don't know. Is that?
It's a thought. Candace, do you have a comment on the thought?
I have a comment on your thought.
A thought on my thought?
Here's my thought on your thought.
Thank you.
Like I said, I can give them less if they come back with a funding package from DEQ, and we do it frequently. But I can't give them more. Let's say we give them less now. The board authorizes less.
Oh, okay.
I can't bump it up.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
And if we do any loan and the bond is already settled, yeah.
And the spending would be on the bond first. On the loan, anyway, if the project were to get started.
We put loan funding out first,
right. Yep.
Then grant.
Okay.
Of course, we'd have a decision from DEQ long before we probably settled any bond.
Yeah.
Chairman.
Let's go to Mayor Baker and Commissioner Ogden.
And I know their plight, because I know that area real well, and you can see their magi is extremely high for what we require, and part of it is
what was handed to them from the dam, like the people there. Not something they chose to do and how it was run and how the system set up. Is there a way, I guess I would entertain a motion maybe here that we just fund this whole thing as a grant and take it out of the large infrastructure fund?
What's the balance on that? It's a thought.
Everybody's always thinking.
While we're looking that up, Commissioner Ogden?
I was just wondering if we could fund the difference of whatever DEQ comes back with. Can we do something like that?
Well, ultimately, we would be doing that if DEQ comes in with something and to make the project whole.
Yeah.
The total in the large infrastructure is
$5,982,575. So you'd just take it all away.
So, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
There's funding there.
You leave $1 million in there or something. Isn't it four? The total request is $4,731,000.
5,190,000.
I'm reading. Okay, that's old. No, that I'm still there. I'm still with it. Taking.
And then if water came in with any funding, we could reduce that.
Yeah. I think it's a catch 22. If we fund this, they're going to say, well, there's other projects. So, but this is a.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can otherwise other than just do it. It's one of those catch 22. The system needs to be overhauled desperately.
Let me just point out, sorry.
Yes.
The balances on the financials do take into account their request as requested. It's already been accommodated to leave what is there. So CIB in their main accounts can accommodate this project without going into the large infrastructure.
I didn't know if that was requesting some loan grant mix or we could do it all. I was saying an all grant. Could we still do it in an all grant? Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I'm willing to change my motion to, instead of taking it out of the large infrastructure, just take it out. Is all grant.
Look what you just did.
We're just giving. Yeah, we're just giving.
You
a
just broke
moment,
the computer.
You know?
Yeah.
We could use that.
We just poof it all going.
She just.
They want to give all grants. Can it?
If we grant out $5.19 million, do we have the funding in the mineral lease?
So what they ask is the little piece of $700,000 in loan. Currently, this is 582. Is with the changes you've done to date. So it would put you in the red, basically $200,000.
Okay.
And that in the main account, because you're taking $700,000 away from the bonus, moving it into this other fund, and you only currently have $782,000 in there.
So those are your options, Mayor.
I guess I'm still with taking it out of the large infrastructure.
Okay.
Stay as so with my motion.
We have a motion to take $5.19 million out of the large infrastructure fund as a grant. The exemption on that would be?
I could say hardship, but it's actually emergency. They need to get moving on this project.
The
water's
response.
Critical.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second the motion.
Mr. Stevens has the second. Any discussion on the motion?
I'll do a substitute motion.
Okay, we have a substitute by Treasurer Oakes.
That we stick with the request of 779 and the 4.41.
At a 0.5% interest for 30 years.
Yeah.
We have a substitute motion as presented. Is there a second to the substitute?
I'd second that.
Commissioner Ogden seconds that. Any discussions on the substitute motion? Seeing none, Candace, would you like to roll call vote the substitute?
The substitute motion for the Daggett County MBA Dutch John Water Improvements
is a $779,000 loan, 30 years at 0.5%, a $4,411,000 grant. Treasurer Oakes?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Are you abstaining?
I'm wondering if for the view of it, I would abstain, but for the legality of it, I know I can vote. I've done my disclosure.
Right.
But I won't stir that pot.
Abstain.
Yes.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay. Mr. Stevens?
I'll vote yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously with those present and one abstention.
Well, thank congratulations, you. Commissioner.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Right. Thank we you. Look forward to hearing how things go with the Division of Drinking Water.
As do we.
Good project. So Jack, we're getting the big tank? Huh? We're getting the big tank?
That's part of the project. Thank you.
Next on the agenda, item 7, supplemental requests.
And think,
we have a couple of these.
Real quick, I want to say thank you to staff for working through that as well as the board very much. We thank do not, we for some reason do well at not bringing the simple projects. So thank you.
You know what they say about Daggett County, nothing simple, right?
But it's a good project.
It's an hour from anywhere.
That's what they say. We'll invite Laverkin City to come forward. Candace will give us a quick briefing on their request.
Quick briefing. Laverkin City, this is for their utilities and roadway improvements. We funded this in June 3rd. Obviously, construction costs came in higher than expected due to inflation, rising construction costs. They did receive a loan grant package. They're requesting supplemental in 100% loan.
Excuse me, can you repeat that?
They did receive a loan grant package, but their request is for 100% loan, same terms, 1% interest, 25 years, $250,000.
So generally we would go to them for comments, but given the nature of their request, I'll go directly to Commissioner Ogden.
I'd make a motion that we support this supplemental of $250,000.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Ogden to approve as presented, a second by Commissioner Lytle. Any discussion? Seeing none, Candace, will you do the roll call vote, please?
Treasurer Oakes?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously.
Now, gentlemen, if you'd like to introduce yourself for the record. and tell us how long you have to drive for the pleasure of looking pretty.
I was going to say, I was hoping I'd get a chance to introduce myself and my colleague, Blaine, from Sunrise Engineering. I'm Kyle Google with the city. So thank you very much.
And how long did you have to drive for this honor?
4 hours.
4 hours one way, right?
Like I told myself, yes. Like I told myself, it was just like I was in Hawaii coming up here at 4 o'clock in the morning. It looked just like it does in Hawaii at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Thank you.
Hope it was worth your time. Thank you. Okay, next on the agenda is another supplemental request from Mona City 7.1. Candace?
Mona City's request, it really is number 2, sorry about that. In October, on October 3rd, 2021, the board authorized $235,200 in the form of a $103,002 grant and $132,000 loan, 30 years at 0.5%. Total request, $336,000. This request is for $50,000 more. A $28,000 loan, 30-year at 0.5%, and a $22,000 grant. They have not closed the loan, but expect to soon, and it's the same. Construction bids came in higher than expected due to inflation and rising construction costs. They'd like to proceed, but their request is for the supplemental funding. And they added applicant cash as well.
Would you accept the motion?
So the supplemental funding is the same as the original terms?
Yes.
With added money, correct?
With their applicant cash.
So they don't have to have any bond counsel on that added money, or?
We haven't closed the loan yet.
Okay, so it's just added. Perfect.
Yeah. So you would accept the motion to move forward?
Do they want to introduce this?
A motion as presented.
I don't think we need to allow people to introduce themselves anymore.
Is there
as
a second?
Presented.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Taylor. A motion by Commissioner Lytle, a second by Commissioner Taylor, as presented. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Treasurer Oaks?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
I vote yes. Thank you for coming, whoever you are.
That motion passes.
Well, Mona isn't Murray, so it's a bit of a drive. So we'll give them the honor of introducing themselves and saying anything they'd like.
Yeah, anything outside 60 miles, we probably should let them introduce themselves.
I'm Jay Christensen, city council member, and happy to be here, and thank you. Appreciate it.
Ty the Fattest with Jones and DeMille. It's been a good meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen. Drive safely. Good luck with the project. Get her done before the costs go up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. That includes the supplementals for this meeting. This inflation world is quite different, so it may not be the last we see of that. Next on our agenda is item 8.1, Kane County Water Conservancy District. This is a special consideration project, which will require a vote of the board to hear from the applicant and place on the agenda for consideration. Before we get to that vote, Candace, if you would provide us with a briefing.
This project is a land acquisition project. Back in July of 2021, the King County Water Conservancy District approached the board to receive funding for a golf course. And the board suspended the rules and funded the golf course with a loan for $10 million, 30 years at 1%, I believe. It's been a process. Part of the project for that golf course was some SITLA land, and that SITLA land was reappropriated to a different project. This project, now what they're bringing in, is for land acquisition. It's a component, and it's land by Jackson Flat Reservoir. It's 74.53 acres of private property in Kanab. It will become asphalt walking and biking paths, and that's their intent, a trail system. There are trails that already exist in that property. Right now, I believe it's private land, and the private land has a land option, so they're requesting time on the board's agenda to see if the board will consider hearing their request. And it's for a $1,240,000 loan, 30 years at 1%. It's in Kane County, and it's near Jackson Flat, perhaps adjacent. But they had a public hearing on the 26th. There were several people there, not a lot. It was a 12-minute public hearing. Most were in favor. They spoke to it. And my question earlier was, can Kane County Water, as constituted, develop recreational projects with district funds? And it was answered by Attorney Van Dyke. He believes that the district can provide water conservation services, municipal water services, wastewater and irrigation services. Recreational uses are common practices in the state of Utah and outside the state. This type of activity is incidental to and supportive of water conservation efforts.
Chair Heaton.
One second.
Yep.
Aaron, did you want to add anything to any of that?
No, I don't. Okay. I've reviewed Mr. Van Dyke's letter, but haven't completed my review.
Okay.
So, no, I don't have anything to add.
Thank you for that. Treasurer Oakes?
Would it be appropriate for a motion?
Yes, at this point, it requires a motion from the board to either hear or deny the request to hear the project.
I have a question before we get to that.
Commissioner?
Part of me would like to hear what the final results of Mr. Waite's review would be in terms of that, whether it happens during our deliberation or whether we delay the deliberation until we receive that review in good conscience.
Excellent point. Thank you. Let's see. Let's go to Commissioner Adams.
We could hear the project and act on the project subject to Aaron's review.
I would concur with that.
Okay.
So I think it's important that the process be followed. I'd like to make a motion to deny hearing the project at the meeting. I don't believe the compelling reason is a compelling reason for the CIB at this point. So that would be my motion.
We have a motion to deny the request. Commissioner Adams?
I'd like to make a substitute motion that we hear the request at this time.
I would second the substitute.
Second to the substitute motion. Any discussion on the motion to hear special consideration? Seeing no discussion, roll call vote.
Treasurer Oakes?
No.
Mr. Webb?
So this is to hear the motion, yes.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes with 5 in the affirmative and 3 opposed.
At this point, we would invite the Kane County Water Conservancy District to come forward and tell us about their request. Welcome, Mr. Noel. If you'll introduce yourself.
Mike Noel, Kane County Water Conservancy District Executive Director. I'm on my 27th year in that position.
Anything you'd like to tell us about the project?
Sure. I really would. I appreciate hearing this. I understood from my attorney, who's also the county attorney, this would be, if we didn't hear, it would be the first time in the history of this board they didn't hear something was on the agenda. That came from my attorney, said he told you that, so that would be interesting, where it was on the agenda and you refused to hear it. There's been a lot of history on this. I'm not going to go into all of it, but the property is adjacent. I sent maps. It was part of the original project. This is a 633-acre recreation area. We've developed this over 25 years. We put over $35 million, literally thousands of people in Kane County, also in across the border into Fredonia, use this property. We have a fishing derby. Jack, we caught the number one largest bass in that reservoir 2 years ago. 14-year-old kid caught it. He didn't get it weighed, but we get fish from the fish and game. They support this. When the other reservoirs freeze up, they bring those fish down to us. We bought additional fish, so it's a great recreation area. We have, on Thanksgiving Day, we have a 10K. There's 3.4 miles of paved biking, hiking trails. We've since added another mile to this that goes into Kanab City. The Utah State University did an extensive study on this area for recreation, came up with a program called the Necklace Trail System, and Jackson Flat Reservoir was one of the primary gems of that system. It's where we start a lot of the activities. We'll expand that. The legislature, I think, appropriated over $200 million for trails and for outside use. My board supports this unanimously. We made this proposal a year and a half ago. We got an appraisal on the property. The appraisal was $17,000. Recently, property in that area sold for over $50,000, so we would lose this piece. There's only 9% of the land in King County that's available for development. Much of the BLM land in that area you can't do anything with. We lost 5,000 square miles of property and the largest coal reserve in the nation, untapped coal reserve, to the monument, Grand Staircase Monument. I'm sure the same thing happened with Mr. Adams. So I just think this is a great project. I think it will be beneficial to the citizens of Kane County. We have 4 million tourists come to this area every year. They'll also use it. There is absolutely no intent to flip this property to in any way try to change the use of the property. The people that own it, their dad was Cloyd Chamberlain. He sat on my board with me originally when I was appointed a member of the board for almost 30 years. He's since died. This is his family's property. They're okay with open space and recreation. They are not okay with the multi-million-dollar, $150 million development that came in from a Georgia firm that won that CITLA bid. And so it was a bid process. Ours was the lowest because ours was a golf course and open space, and we also had trails. We will go ahead and add to our what we have there in the area besides the boating and all those other activities. There's an exercise area, outdoor exercise area. There's a volleyball court. There's a small driving range there. There's a frisbee golf that we had a major tournament here last year. So this is not anything to try to flip it or to try to make money. That's not my job, and that's not what I've done for 27 years. Thank you.
Mike, can you tell us a little bit more about the property? Who's the current owner?
It's a family. It's Cloyd Chamberlain family. It's called The Claim. It's an LLC. There's three sisters and two brothers. The two brothers live in Kanab. The others live out. Well, one sister lives in Kanab. The brothers are fine to sell it. We just recently went ahead and acted on our final. We had a few days to act on that. If we didn't act on that, we would lose it. And so we have a 60-day period where we have to line up funding and make sure that we've got this funding. The only other funding we would be able to get, and this is why I call it compelling, is higher interest rate funding through a commercial bank, not a fixed rate, and it would be a 20-year loan. So this would really be difficult. We do have the funding. We have $13,000 to $20,000 a year on the hydro plant you approved 25 years ago. We have a house that we rent for $21,000, and we get $30,000 from the irrigation shares. That reservoir supplies farmers with a full supply of water. It's been one of the most popular projects we've done, but it also provides a wonderful recreation area. We do the 24th of July celebration there, too, with a fireworks display that all the communities add to, the county pays for. So I'd really appreciate the support on this, and that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
I'm just a little unclear on the CITLA land that the Georgia firm is planning to develop. Is that an adjacent piece of property?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. If you look on the map, you'll see CITLA, and then you'll see a 40-acre big hole in the ground right there. That's a BLM property. We have what's called a recreation and purpose, recreation and public purpose grant on that area. Which we could add to it. We hope the county will tie in with it. They've been holding off on that, but it's a sand pit. And I've talked to their area manager recently, and they're going to work with us. But all of these types of actions, RNPPs, exchanges, and everything with this agency, now the BLM, are pretty much tied up. But we think we can acquire that. And then the next piece right there is the Acclaim property.
And may I, is the Acclaim property the purchase piece?
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's the piece
we're talking about.
Yes,
today.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for that clarification. Let's now go to the board for questions and comments.
Question. Was the vote to put this on the agenda, or was this on the agenda already?
No, the vote was to place it on the agenda because it's special consideration.
Okay, so then what was mentioned by your lawyer is actually inaccurate. This was never on the agenda, so...
It was.
Well, we had a vote to put it on the agenda today.
Discuss it.
Yeah, so I just want to be careful that I don't appreciate somebody coming in here and telling us that their lawyer said this would be the first time that nobody's heard, somebody hasn't heard something that's on the agenda. Especially we had a vote to determine whether we were going to hear it.
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry, but that's exactly what happened. And your lawyer told my lawyer that. My lawyer didn't tell us. I don't know how many times. Your lawyer said it would be the first time that an item on the agenda was not voted to be heard. That's what I said, would not voted to be heard.
Let me clarify. I did talk to Mr. Van Dyke, and specifically we talked about Rule 990-8-5 and walked through that, and we talked about special consideration, compelling reasons. And I did say in the time that I've represented the board that matters that have come on for special consideration that have been voted on for the board, they've been considered by the board. So I didn't speak to any of the history other than my representation
and
of the
how
board.
How long have you represented the board?
Since last July.
So a year.
But I did say that, in that time.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
I have a question.
Mr. Taylor.
Yep. And so this area where it's acclaimed, the acclaimed property, it looks to me like there's some trails or somebody's been using that, but you're going to develop a set of trails.
Yes.
And then tie it back in towards the reservoir, correct?
Yes. And the trails go, or the trails for the Necklace program go to the north. Some of them will go down to the south. They'll go to the east and also to the west. This is also part of the Zion Trail system. I actually sit on the King County Travel Council Board, where half of the mineral lease money comes to, and we see these things all the time. So trails are a big deal right now with the recreation. That's kind of the main economic engine in King County now. It used to be mineral development and also agriculture, which I am in myself, but it's pretty well gone by the wayside to tourism.
What's the funding source for further development of these trails? Or are they fully developed?
No, they're not fully developed. We match our funding. We've got, so far, we've got about $500,000 over the years on projects. This would be a grant through the Outdoor Office of Recreation. Pitt Grew came down, talked to me about it. He said this would be a $500,000 grant, so we would start there. But there's other sources available, too. As I say, that money from the trail system, the roads and trails with the county, that would also be available. But we do a lot of work. We have a lot of heavy equipment. Like I say, we have 4,000 service connections, so we've got all the equipment and things. We can do a lot of this work ourselves.
I noticed you had a public hearing, and it seemed like everybody at the public hearing was in favor of this project. Was there anybody that was against the project that was at the public hearing?
No, the answer to that is no, and it was widely publicized. I just want people to understand something here. In King County, we have a battle going on with the people that are there, that have lived there. My family goes back two generations, and the people that are moving in, are causing some real problems. An organization called the King County Taxpayers Association, an individual by the name of Sky Cheney, who started that, has just gone after every single project. He went after our Alton Coal project, our attempt to keep our RS-2477 roads. When I passed the legislation to downsize the monument, he's been after me the whole time he's in the legislature. So what I want people to understand here, and also to the state treasurer too, I'm a really good friend of the state of Utah. I've worked with the state treasurer over the years. Your predecessor was a very good friend of mine. And so my attempt is to make sure we get these lands opened up. There's so much more potential in King County and other counties to have more mineral development. But you have to have roads, you have to have access. And that's what I fought in my 16 years of the legislature. And I love this board. I like the way it's composed of right now. I think we need water. I think we need roads. I think we need people from private industry. But I hope I'm not put in that position. But many of the things you read in the newspaper are not true. that's a, I hope that's an eye-opener, just like many things that read in the national newspaper. We have a group of special agitators that come to our community, and none of those showed up, even though they put it on there, because most of the people, even the ones that oppose the golf course, love this trail system, and they like the things that it provides people in the community.
Well, and I appreciate that. I think they reached out to us, and I appreciate them doing that. But I wish that also, if they're gonna write these letters, that they would come to you guys in person at your public hearings and your meetings, and voice that opposition there, rather than just write the letters. And I appreciate us getting the letters, but still, I wish they'd step up and come to the public hearings.
If I may further that comment or comment on the comment, there are processes and procedures, and when those processes and procedures are honored, things work well and they're equitable and good decisions can be made. And when they're usurped, then you get a level of chaos. And there's a fair bit of that going on here, and I think that's why there's so much deliberation, and I think that's appropriate. But it puts an extra burden on this board when we have to do those things, and that's why we have an application list. And when projects come in, a special consideration, those can be difficult, especially if there's not an imminent threat. And generally, when we talk about imminent threats, we're talking about health and welfare. So, this one was a little bit challenging for us, and we appreciate that. Also, as you all know, or should know, these are not public hearings. There is a public hearing process that takes place at the local level, which I, again, feel is very appropriate. These decisions should be made at the local level. And there should be some consensus by local elected officials about what projects come forward to this board. That's not our place. We've seen more and more of that happening, and some of us aren't going to have to deal with that anymore, and some of us are. So for those of us that are, I think it would be in our best interest to kind of curtail some of that and push that back to the local process where it belongs. So appreciate the comments, and we'll go to Commissioner Adams. Thank you.
Well, as long as I've sat on this board, one of the things that we've tried to do is lend money out because it revolves and comes back to us. So I look at this project as a project that maybe we could lend out at maybe a little higher interest rate than we normally or than we have been lending out for these sewer and water and road projects. So that's what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to lend the money, and we ought to lend it out at a little higher interest rate than we have been with the other projects that have come, I don't know, over the last year or whatever.
Let's go to... Just going down the line.
Okay. So I wasn't part of the board when the golf course was approved. Was this part of the golf course?
Yes.
Property as well?
Yes.
And what was the terms on the golf course? Was it all loan or was it partially
grant? It was all loan.
All loan.
No grant. We've never asked for grant.
1%? 2%?
1%.
1% on the golf course?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My next question was, do you have the support of the county commissioners?
Yes, I think we do. I mean... Okay. Here's another problem with the county commissioners that you've got going right now. There's a very, very, upheaval in the community. There are people that are running, and one of the issues that they brought up was the golf course. It was more about water than it was about the golf course and the funding, et cetera. But this was led by the Taxpayers Association and another group with the name of the Kanab Patriots. Now, the Kanab Patriots are led by a guy that moved here from San Diego, so I don't want to give you all the history, sure. But the county commissioners are in, both of them are in primary, so they haven't really stepped out. One of the things they waited for was whether the Sitla project was going to go forward, and so I don't want to put them on the notice here, but that's one of the things that in developing the Water Conservancy District, the board members on the district are appointed by the county commission, but they act independently. They represent drainages. This way, a big city, which has two members on my board, can't control all of where the resources go. And we've done a very good job, the district has, over the last 27 years, to build out these systems, increase the value because of good water systems. We actually work very closely with the State Department of Environmental Quality, with the Drinking Water Board. They've been wonderful. They actually asked us, would you please do this with 17 non-functioning, out of compliance with eight state of Utah and EPA. We did all that. We've done all that. We came for one loan here, and it was a 0% loan for one system when things started going south with some of the other funds that were out there. That's the only one we've gotten, and one for our building, for the water district. So that's kind of how it is right now. So I believe they are. Again, it's pretty volatile out there.
They didn't comment, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, one last question. We did receive those three, I think it was three letters. Would you just classify those? I mean, I think you probably have seen the letters as well. You haven't seen it.
No.
So the opposition that you're receiving on this project, is that, would you just classify that as like public clamor? Is it baseless?
I got to know who it's from.
Well, yeah.
I don't know who it's from. If it's from the Kane County taxpayers or the Patriots, yes, absolutely.
Not representing the citizens.
Not at all.
Okay, that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Webb. Mr. Stevens?
You mentioned the fact that you have a grant request in for outdoor recreation.
We do have some in right now, but not specifically for this. That's not due for a while, though. We will actually put in for that, for a request for that. So this will be recreation area, recreation. It's not a... I think somebody mentioned it's speculation. It is not speculation. It's the farthest thing from speculation. As a general manager of the district for 27 years, I've run it more like a business than I'd run it like my own farming business or my farm store or whatever. I run it like a business as much. And I've got a board that are really good men. Most of them are farmers, ranchers, and they support this 100%.
And then the other comment I was going to make was when the letter came out to us, it's addressed to the Board of Trustees of CITLA as opposed to the Community Impact Board. So that's just a...
That's my age, Kyle. I'm 75 years old this year, so that's probably my brain going south on me. But the last one you got, the most recent one?
Dated April 25th, 2022.
Yeah, that's probably right. I probably was doing that at 2 in the morning. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Ogden, let's go to you.
Okay, I have a couple questions for you, Mike, on this deal. How did you get tied up? How does the Conservancy District get tied up in a trail project, I guess is one question. How does that relate to your water projects? And then another one, is the board going to be receiving some kind of funding or some kind of resource or revenue from this when this gets all done? And my next question to you is, how soon are you going to start on this project? The golf course was supposed to be already going and done, and we requested a bunch of information and we never did receive any of that. So I'm just trying to make sure.
I'm not sure. What did you request? I don't even know.
Well, I think we had some things there that we were trying to find out from the golf course thing that we never did get the information back.
The main problem with moving forward on the golf course was CITLA's evaluating these three applications. There was our application, there was the application from the developer, and there was a second application for development. So both of those projects were development, and it was actually from the miners' hospital, or who the beneficiaries were, which we didn't know. One of the problems we ran up against there is recently, you know, the big development there by Hurricane Coral Canyons, or is that what it's called? They did that project. They made a ton of money on it, but they lost money on the golf course because the people in that area did not like the way that it was taken care of. It was taken care of by a guy named Bedsoe, Dale Bedsoe, and he just let it go downhill, opened it up on a nationwide. So it's since sold to Durango's, the owner of Durango's, and they're redeveloping that golf course again. But right now, and that was what I was up against. I was up against that project. I was up against the fact that we're in a drought, even though we have the water rights, their irrigation rights. They're south of where the water is, where the Kanab City uses their culinary water. and then also the funding, et cetera. But I had to wait for that. I had to wait till that happened. It was a three package deal. The CITLA project, when we actually went out for this, and I talked to Dave Ure from CITLA, this is years ago, that property was probably worth $2,000 an acre. The same organization, the taxpayers said, oh, this is a terrible place. It's right next to the dump. It's right next to the county correctional facility. And you look off and there's a sewer lagoon. That project, $78,000 an acre they bid over a 15-year absorption rate. That's what they're putting in. 400 vacation rentals, $650,000 homes. And now they came in for zoning, and the city was pretty kind of opposed to it. There were three people that were for it or three people against it and two for it, including the mayor. He didn't get to vote. But now they're going to do housing. They're going to do low-income housing. Well, I'm not sure low-income housing is going to work with a $650,000 home and R8 zoning, which is 8,000-foot zoning. So it's really what they did is they took our development, $30, $40 million on this beautiful reservoir trails, and they used it to sell this CITLA property. And I mean, that's what they do. I understand what they do. I've been friends with CITLA forever, but it really is not the place to build that. That was should be an open space.
Anything else?
Did the property come with any water rights?
No.
It's just land.
No.
Okay.
No. We do have water rights, so we have about 600 acre feet of water rights.
I have a comment or a question.
Commissioner Lytle?
Thank you, Mike, for your time. I'm certain that you're disgruntled with the fact that I voted to not hear it.
No, not at all.
Based on some of your correspondence with the staff and to us and your disgruntlement as I interpreted it, I'm a little bit frustrated with your demeanor. The fact that, and I want you to listen carefully because I'm not dressing you down, because I am very appreciative for things that you've done for the state of Utah, for individual counties, and for individuals. I hope that you will recognize the importance of what we do and the tone that you use with us. What I will, and this is difficult for me, but I feel important enough that it's risky, and I know that. But I have the respect for you that I assume you have for me. I cannot excuse some of the behavior in written language or not, or verbal or tone without bringing it up. What I will pass it off is the passion that you carry for everything that you do. And I appreciate it. Your passion for your projects and the things that you've gotten done in your career with the state is significant. And we recognize that and are grateful for it. My decline in, or my vote no, was pretty specifically, it wasn't based on those things, but it was, it was difficult for me to see the exigency in the need for us to hear it. I understood your exigency for it. As we deal in sewer and water and fire departments and things that we're trying to do, I get lost in that sometimes, in my passion for those, and when we're trying to figure out needs and wants. So I am respectful of your presence and the fact that you brought this to the table, but I wanted to explain my vote so that there wasn't a misinterpretation.
I don't hold grudges, no hard feelings. I apologize, okay?
Nor do I.
Okay.
But I'm taking some notes from what I've seen you do in your work, and when you felt the need to speak up, you speak up, and I appreciate that. And I'm taking advantage of that opportunity myself to work and look forward to working with you in the future. I appreciate your demeanor as you bring this forward and the work you've put into it. I have a few quick questions in terms of the business model that this fits into. Is this less business oriented and more in terms of trying to protect that open space. And the business side says get her done now because it's just going to get more expensive, is what I'm hearing. Is that kind of where that, how that comes together?
We don't charge for the fishing derby. We do charge because we buy, you know, we buy trophies and things, okay. And we do buy the fish.
But the fishing derby part, I don't. I'm not here as a representative of the fish.
No, I'm just saying everything that we do, we don't charge. This is a public facility. We've always been supported by the commissioners. And my board's always supported it. So this is recreation. And,
okay.
And when you talk about roads and trails, if you go look at all of the reservoirs, let's talk about Sand Hollow. There's our OHV trails all over that area. There's boat docks. Water accumulates recreation. And Green Space does. That's why Outdoor Recreation Board, they get $500,000 for green space projects, and this is a green space project. So I guess, Jack, the thing I would say is this, is that trail is named after my wife who died. Her name is the Sherry Bell Trail, okay?
Okay.
And she's a native there in that area. And it does mean a lot to me. It really does. And I haven't done anything on that I didn't think was beneficial to the community.
Very good.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate that. Commissioner Taylor?
Right next to this property is a Sitla property. Are you telling me that there's going to be homes, a lot of homes built right there?
500 plus, 600 plus, yeah.
So more than likely, and I don't know what's to the south of there, more than likely they are going to need some trails and...
Oh, they'll use it. They'll probably overuse it, unfortunately. Just to the east of that is the county dump, but it's almost filled up. So, and there's also the rodeo grounds are right there too. There's a plan for an amphitheater in that area. We bought some land to the north of that several years ago, 100 acres to add to this, and we're still paying on that.
What's it zoned?
Pardon me?
What's it zoned?
It was zoned rural agriculture, but the other night, like I say, they just zoned it R8 for that piece. It's always been agriculture.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that. But the fact that you've mentioned it.
Commissioner Adams?
Well, this project is not like other projects, sewer and water and stuff, where we give a big grant to the project. We're lending the money. I'm suggesting we lend the money and make it beneficial to the board. It's a unique project, and I would make the motion we lend him the money at a 30-year period for 2.5% interest.
I'll second.
We have a motion to lend $1.24 million for 30 years at 2.5% by Commissioner Adams and a second by Commissioner Taylor. Discussion on the motion, question. Commissioner Ogden.
I would also want to add, after the review of our attorney.
Okay, you want that as a contingency?
Contingency.
Is that acceptable to the maker of the motion?
Sure.
And the second?
Yes.
Okay, with the caveat that receives some completed legal review, which is in the works. Any other comment? Seeing none, Candace, will you roll call vote, please?
This is for Kane County Water Conservancy District land acquisition. The request is for a $1,240,000 loan. The board has authorized a 30-year loan at 2.5%. Treasurer Oaks.
One comment quick. What's the source for payback? Could we ask that from him before we vote?
A little out of order, but I'll allow it. Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize, but that all of a sudden came to me that I thought
that's a good point.
Yeah, that's in our application, but we also have a hydro plant, $13,000 to $20,000 a year in revenue. There's a house rental on the property that was there with the ranch when we bought the ranch 20 years ago. That's $24,000, and we do get $30,000 on renting our irrigation rights. So that's somewhere between $40,000 and $70,000 a year, so we can't afford the 2.5%. That will return over $500,000 to the CIB board over the 30-year period. I think it's like $600,000 back in revenue. So, okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, Tom, sorry, Candace, you can continue with the voting.
I just have another question, because when you close the loan, you'll need a dedicated revenue source that shows 1.25%, at least 100% of the payment plus a 25% buffer before we can close the loan. Treasurer Oakes.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously with those present.
Can I say one more thing, Keith? I want to apologize to anyone here. I do have, sometimes I get fired up, okay? That's my nature.
Really?
You spur me, I spur you back. But I know I appreciate this board here. I really do. And I appreciate the money that's been loaned. I think it'll be really beneficial to the community, and I support all of you.
I think it'll be good to come down and see it.
So. Yeah, we'd invite you down there.
If you have a project you want to get done, I'd recommend to send him.
I'm sorry, I'm retired, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Noel. Mr. Noel and I worked together on the hydro plant, which is the revenue source for this project, 25 years ago. I was a really young man then, and Mr. Noel was still an old man, so I don't know. Yeah, that's what does it. That's what does it. That'll take a lot of pink dinosaurs with that many grandkids. There is one thing I do want to comment on for the benefit of the public and the board. It's my parting song, and that's that the staff works very hard to ensure that the policies and procedures that this board has implemented and the standards that the state has in place are upheld. And when special considerations and such things happen, staff has to make sure T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And I've been working with these people for a long time, many decades. And they don't bring their bias to the table, but they take pride in their work, and they take their responsibility as stewards of public funds very seriously. And sometimes as applicants, you know, we know you're passionate about your project, but they have a line to hold, and they do that. They don't have a vote. You know, they don't deny projects, but they have to make sure that applications are in place and that those applications have been done appropriately. And until that happens, they don't come before this board because, again, we don't waste your time and we don't waste the public dollars. It has nothing to do with they liking people or not liking people. And inevitably, that comes up all the time. And I understand that. But I just want to, again, state for the public record that they are the utmost professionals at all times. You know, and as you talk with your constituents and the public, as you come forward with applications, please keep that in mind and treat them with respect that they deserve as professionals. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you. Commissioner Todd.
Can we get a picture of the staff? You all together before you...
Well, now would be a good time for that.
As we work toward
Bruce
that...
Bruce was going to sing a song.
Oh, yeah.
But as we work toward that, yes. I would like to make a comment, too. Oh, and thank you very much, staff. Thank you for the professionalism that you bring to the board. And thank you for the effort that it takes to get through it. I know you are not appreciated as you should be sometimes. And I want to make sure it's clear that we do appreciate you. I appreciate you. And thank you for the efforts that you make. And that goes to the staff, as you are, as well as to Keith as he moves on. And thank you. And to the rest of the board, I would say thank you for the professionalism. Kyle and Jim in particular, obviously haven't been on long enough to get to know some of the stuff, but it is significant and it is severe in our efforts to make this work. So thank you, each of you.
So, how did you want to do the picture?
Keith, the boss.
Oh. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Bruce.
No.
But the other boss.
Okay. Right there.
Christina, if you'll introduce yourself for the record.
I sure will. Absolutely. Christina Oliver, Director of Housing and Community Development. And on behalf of the department, we just want to recognize Keith's extremely...
Extreme's good.
No, it's good. Give me a second. We are going to miss you. You are a powerful force. You've been with the department 26 years. I've been able to work with you on two different occasions. You're a wonderful person. We can't fill your shoes. And just want you to know we wish you luck in your future endeavors, but you are going to be sorely missed. And I know by staff, as well as everyone in the community, thank you, thank you, thank you. We look forward to seeing you here in a different realm, but just wanted to pass on the thanks from all of us at Department of Workforce Services in the state of Utah. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. So. You know, the chairman just sits here and looks pretty. You guys do all the work. So I think that is for each of you. Such an honor to work with such... I like the word passionate and dedicated people. It's, you know, I've been paid to sit here. You guys do this on your time, and it takes a lot of time. You know, the packets are electronic now, but those of you who have been around for a minute know that the board packet each month, you know, was 1 inch to 2 inches thick. I mean, that's a lot to read in a week's time when you're, you know, being a county commissioner or a mayor, you know, or whatever else. And so appreciate your dedication. It's such an honor to serve with you. And I'm excited for the future. I'm going to continue to work with many of you in seven counties. And we're going to do some great things. So this is a so
Keith,
long.
We just hope you're finally getting paid what you're worth.
Well, no, they are paying me, Bruce. So thank you. Thank you. It's just nice. So, Commissioner, are you the photographer? I didn't realize.
I just thought it was a good idea. Okay.
So if we could have the staff come forward and someone get out there with a wide angle and
take a
picture. In our effort, shall we adjourn?
You
want to
continue so we can stop the recording?
Yeah, that would be great. Motion to?
Adjourn.
So moved.
So when you say staff, you mean
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of them.
Oh, yeah.
The cowgirl and...